providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation for the first two segments of the second hour with Joe Mazumdar. In this segment, I am chatting with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review. And Brian, we've been chatting a lot over the last few months now about how it's important for investors to be selective in these markets, and especially when it comes to precious metals, and how selective that move has been for some of those stocks. But if we look outside of the precious metals, and it makes sense that a lot of investors are getting distracted by the precious metals breakout and run higher, and that's why we're hearing so much more about gold stocks. But when you look at some of the other markets, like copper stocks are stuck. They're getting no interest. You look at even something like nickel that did start to run and has set up at a much higher price. Those stocks also aren't really sharing in on those kind of gains out of nickel. Do you think this is simply just a market where everyone's so distracted by the precious metals that something pretty drastic is going to happen to bring people into some of these other metals?
You know, that's a great question. Overall, yeah, I think that is what's kind of happening. You know, the resource sector on a whole really hadn't got the attention that some of the other sectors had been getting over the last couple of years. And then with gold breaking out, I think that's really put the focus on the precious metals, and, you know, probably rightfully so. But the base metals are still pretty interesting. There's a few companies that at least I look at that, while their stock price is red, meaning that they're going down, still have some catalysts over the next, you know, 6 months to a year. And, you know, if they're successful, that, you know, those are value adding actions that are being complete, and those are all good things. I think the fact is, like you talk specifically about copper, you know, sub $250 copper, you're really looking at the top quartile of companies that are economic at that valuation. So you got to think that they can only last so long with this sort of copper price. And the other side of things is next year, I think, is a big year on the world stage, because it's the U.S. election. And, you know, that could have positive effects on the market as a whole, not just precious metals, but on the base metals, too, if they come out with a large infrastructure spending plan or something along those lines.
So is that what we're waiting for in your eyes? Either a trade deal, but even on a trade deal front, I'm still a little bit skeptical of a sustained run, simply because I still think the world was in slow growth before these trade issues actually came about. But an infrastructure spend, that is something that still I know we've been talking about for years, but it seems like the politicians have also gotten a bit distracted away from that. Maybe that could be the biggest driver, even more so than a trade deal.
Yeah, maybe. You know, that is a really good thing to think about, how the market would react with that. I have to think that, you know, there would definitely be some push. How it trickles down to the juniors, it may be a little delayed, almost like what we're seeing with the gold price now. You know, the gold price is at, we haven't seen above $1,500 gold since 2013, yet the juniors, by and large, really haven't responded. And it might be the same thing, you know, when it comes to the copper companies. The large producers, you have, whether it's a trade deal or the infrastructure spend, it may take a little while to trickle down to the juniors, just because, they are so beaten down that people are scared to touch it, which is, you know, again, talks to the ironic nature of human behavior. But you know what, like, still, I always fall back on, you know, I trying to hypothesize what could happen or this or that. But I still think most investors, far and wide, will be more successful if they do focus on those company fundamentals and, you know, look for stuff that's going to propel that company forward, meaning actions that are completed, whether it's drilling or met results or anything that adds value to that company. And I think if you focus on those, you know, you do need some market attention. But I think if you focus on those fundamentals, that'll help you be more successful overall.
Now, how important is it for you in terms of watching fundamentals that companies already have some sort of a resource that they're either building on, trying to grow, de-risk, something like that? Because as much as drilling can drive stocks, there's a lot of companies out there that are drilling that are looking for something, and there's going to be a lot of misses out of that drilling.
Absolutely. And that comes to your risk tolerance. And I really think you got to pay attention to that if you're looking at an exploration company. You know, there's sort of a balance, I guess you could say, because the upside potential is quite large if they do find something. But, you know, you have to realize that, you know, more times than not, you're going to be wrong. And you'll most likely pay the price in some sort of loss. But that's why I think if you're going to go after an exploration company, you can break it down differently. And what I mean is you can look for protecting your downside risk. So you're looking for a company that's maybe not as undervalued in terms of their market cap against other explorers. And that could be for a number of reasons. Or one with a large cash position that allows you to have multiple kicks at the can. You know, they've got, let's say they have $10 million in the bank and they're going to spend $3 million on a, you know, 10 to 15,000 meter drill program. And even if they do miss, you know, they probably have two or three other chances to go after other targets on that property or maybe another property. And, you know, having that back, you know, that backing of other chances, I think protects you. Whereas, you know, if there's an exploration company, they've got one property and, you know, they're $5 million in cash and they're going to spend all $5 million on that on trying to hit. Maybe you want to take a second thought about doing that, depending on what your risk tolerance is.
Yeah, all very true, right? The more money a company has, the more shots they have. But that's also why I do mostly try to stay away from these companies that have, say, a 1,000 or 2,000 meter drill program, just because it doesn't give you much room for error. Now, sometimes those smaller drill programs, I think, are useful because they get a team to learn more about what might be kind of underground and help them target a bit more. But yeah, if the company only has enough money for 2,000 meters, say, and then they're going to have to go back to market, that is a very risky game. Can I ask you about battery metals, too? They continue to be in the news, and you know what? The battery metal sector is still, there's some positive drivers out there. We even heard of Europe and Germany more particularly shifting their focus to more electric vehicles. Yes, this all takes time, but it is moving in the right direction. However, I feel like these battery metals, they've really muddied the water with a lot of the promotion that happened a couple years ago, and people, when they hear battery metals right now, they almost cringe because of that volatility and, unfortunately, a bit too much bullishness that came out a few years ago. Where do you stand on these battery metals?
Sure. I'm a strong believer that we're headed towards, you know, electrification of our everyday lives. And I think it's multifaceted. You know, I think first and foremost, the reason why I'm quite confident that that's where we're headed is it's become a political hot topic, you know, specifically with the federal elections coming up in Canada. And a lot of the propaganda I've seen come out of all the parties have to do with, you know, climate change and, you know, social responsibility towards the environment and blah, 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 or the Greta propaganda. Like, all this stuff is being put out there and people are extremely passionate about, you know, being environmentally conscious. And I think that's going to, you know, trickle down. Although I think far and wide that the general population really has no idea what they're talking about. It's all emotional decision-making. That emotion, I think, is going to override everything else. And I think that's going to push governments to try to attain, you know, the Paris Accord limits for carbon pollution. So I think that's where we're headed. But the other side to that is, and I think more of the practical side, it comes, and I just look at myself, you know, one of my hobbies is carpentry. And I've been buying tools over the last, you know, 10 years and, you know, buying new tools every 4 or 5 years. Everything that you look at now has, you know, is battery powered. And it's amazing how much more convenient it's become. And I think you can apply that to almost anything in life now, is battery operated in some way, or you can buy a battery form of it. And I think that convenience is going to be a driving factor. And for me myself, like, I not only do I want a brushless tool, but I want one with, you know, a large battery for long life and convenience. And I think that only propels forward into more areas of our life. And then the second part to that, the marketing, you know, that's, you know, unfortunately, one part of not just the resource sector, but life in general, when people are trying to win your attention, they become extremely flamboyant and try to get in your face about, you know, how amazing this is, and how, you know, in terms of junior resource companies, how they're going to be the ones that lead that charge in finding, you know, the next nickel deposit.
And they make you feel rushed too.
Exactly. Like, you got to act now. But, you know, like, no matter how you slice it, you have time. Like, never feel rushed, especially when it comes to investing. If it's a deal that's going to close and you miss it because you wanted to think it out, to me, you know, good riddance. Like, there'll be another one coming up. And again, it falls back to that fundamental thing where you look at the company fundamentals, you look at how that market is setting up. And I think there is an opportunity in battery metals, but I would focus on a company that's got the fundamentals and the right people behind it, not the flashy marketing that, you know, talks about everything about battery metals, except for what they're actually doing as a junior resource company.
Yes, that is very important. Dive into those presentations and get an understanding of the actual company, not just of the market, because anytime you read a presentation and they talk about a certain sector or market, they're always going to talk bullishly about that. So I find some of that not maybe the most valuable information. Presentations, company presentations should be all about the company. But hey, some interesting comments on battery metals. There's definitely an uptake in interest, but that doesn't mean that it's an uptake in money flowing into the sector. More eyes are watching it, but this is a long process that we are going through to switch more towards battery, energy storage, all of these, I think, very good things, but they take time. All right, Brian, great chatting with you. I always appreciate our conversations. Everyone, go click that link below. Go visit Brian's website to keep up to date on what he is writing and what he is investing in. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Corey.